Thank you, Chair. At this time, I'd like to welcome you to Geneva. It's been very interesting looking into what is being done in Guatemala, and in fact, where you've come from, because I know that you have made quite a journey. We're going to ask you some questions, nevertheless, that should amplify what has been provided to us so far. And I'm going to be joined in this quest by other committee members in the task force. And they are Benoit Van Kerspik, Zara Ratu, and Rinchen Chopel. And I will start the ball rolling with looking at the elements of Cluster 1. The legislation I will first look at, and there's quite a lot I want to ask on this score, because I've noted that you've made several important legislative steps and which have been adopted in recent times, but there's a noticeable lack of implementation or enforcement. And as a result, they've remained toothless paper tigers. In any event, many gaps still persist. An example is the civil code, which does not explicitly incorporate the Convention on the Rights of the Child, and this, I think, would be most desirable. I do take on board that you say that in terms of international agreements, they can supersede the local law, but it's important to incorporate specifically for the avoidance of any doubt. I notice that there are many laws, some in draft after years, but there's very slow passage. One that particularly concerns me is the draft law number 5285, which was designed to create a national system of child protection. As we understand it, this had been approved in first and second readings, but since then it has stagnated. Is the new regime entirely considering, is the new regime actively considering its formal adoption, or is it now in need of amendment? Can you please update us on its progress, as it's urgently needed to regulate and modernize a comprehensive child protection system? I think this is something that particularly bothers me, so it may not appear to be a huge event for you now, because it's now some years ago. I keep going back to it. The tragedy at the Hogar Segura, the fire there, that institution, where children were anything but safe or secure, and over 40 children died. I'm concerned that these children seem to have died in vain, since to date there seems to have been little legislative response, and the particular circumstances have not produced action to ensure it will not happen again. Have there been any new laws governing such institutions drafted, and do you plan to do so? And I really think that this is something that should be on active consideration. We welcome several of those measures that you've adopted in recent years, but the gaps that persist are very concerning, and obviously, this is a particular area of mine, would wish to ensure, for example, that the parental power and authority that you have in your legislation, which is maintained, and this is over the rights of children and without consideration of children's views, I'd like you to see if you can develop legislation in line with international standards in relation to the concept of parental responsibility instead of parental authority. Could urgent consideration be given to decriminalizing abortion by way of legislation in light of the alarming statistics of sexual violence against girls, especially with regard to the high incidence of rape of girls below the age of consent, which is resulting in forced and unwanted pregnancies, and much of it as a result of rape or incest, as I said. The removal of abortion as a criminal offense could particularly, I think, do a long way to saving those girls from violation of their rights. And in fact, those statistics in Guatemala are possibly the worst in the region. On the comprehensive policy and strategy, what are the measures envisaged to ensure that the policy and action plan, the comprehensive protection of children and adolescents 2017 to 2030, not only conforms with convention but is effectively implemented and adequately resourced? Once again, you seem to develop such plans, and this is commendable, but it is essential for them to become reality. In order to become a reality, that there must be funding and appropriate resourcing, human resourcing. Coordination, is there any centralized agency which is given authority and funding to implement and monitor the relevant public policies being elaborated for the benefit of children and adolescents? The National Commission for Childhood and Adolescence, for example, should be provided with a clear mandate to coordinate all activities related to the implementation of the convention at cross-sectoral and national levels, as well as providing sufficient human, technical, and financial resources. Generally, this is a theme that you'll see running through all of my remarks, but the allocation of resources is very concerning. There does not seem to be a comprehensive assessment of what the budgetary needs are in order to implement children's rights, and this needs to be immediately addressed in line with clearly defined lines based on perceived priority areas in keeping with General Comment 19. Is the current budget allocation investment in children's issues monitored and regularly assessed with a view to ensuring its effectiveness? Is the budget allocations reaching the targeted destination, or does corruption play a part in the underfunding? If this is so, can this be cured strategies to ensure that there is better tracking of funds? We understand there were no approved budgets for children's issues over the past years. How can this loss of investment in children be compensated? How can you make it up to them on those children who missed out as a result? Can you consider and outline efforts to reduce inequalities affecting disadvantaged children, such as Indigenous, Afro-descended children in poverty, migrant and asylum-seeking children who are marginalized, and seek to make more budget allocations for them? In terms of data collection, I need you to urgently suggest how you can improve your data collection system at the National Institute of Statistics to ensure that all areas of the convention are covered and that such data is disaggregated, and in terms of age, sex, disability, geography, ethnicity, in order to facilitate analysis and design suitable programming. Is the data adequate enough to substantiate the overwhelming anecdotal evidence that we have of the high rate of sexual violence against girls? Can this data be used to prevent and punish sexual predators? We welcome the initiative of the Comprehensive Support Model for Children and Adolescents in 2019. However, can there be effective implementation to ensure that children can access quality, independent legal aid, and they are made aware of its existence and their right to such aid? At this stage, I will leave other questions until later. Thank you so much.